This program is sponsored by TC Sports on 1700 KBGG.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. We say hello to you on a Tuesday. Jim and Trent right here on the Big Talker 1700. You can always get in on the program at 264-1700. Great show lined up for you today. 420 Alex Halstead, 24-7 Cyclone Alert will be our guest. At 440, Adam Kramer, Kegs and Eggs. And then at 5 o'clock, it is the Hawkeye Huddle. How you doing, partner?
Doing pretty well, Jimmy B. You know, getting ready for high school football. We got a doubleheader coming your way on Friday. A couple of state championship games will start at 11 a.m. as Van Meter plays for their first state title in high school football. They take on one of the behemoths of high school football in Iowa City, Regina. I'll have the call for you at 11. Then we'll take you from 4 until 6 with Jimmy B and TC before it'll be Dowling Catholic against Iowa City West in the Class 4A title game. So the vocal cords will be getting a workout again, Jim.
Lemon tea. Lemon tea will help you, pal.
That sounds awful. No. Diet Mountain Dew. Diet Mountain Dew.
That does nothing for your vocal cords, though.
Oh, sure it does. Sure it does. It soothes, and it gives me a little pick-me-up because, you know, I don't drink tea. I don't drink coffee. I do it my own certain way. You know that, Jim.
I know you do. You carry like that Diet Mountain Dew stuff like every place you go. It's amazing.
Well, I don't do coffee. I need caffeine. You know, I'm a little busy from time to time. I want to have Jim Brinson's life. How long do I got? Another 50
about
years?
About 102 years.
And then I'll be in your spot, 2 hours a day. And not even today, as you'll be off early, as we got the Hawkeye Huddle today.
You know what? As I've always told you, sometimes it's good to be me.
I guess so. You have things figured out. Well, Jim, we got a lot to talk about today. College basketball, I think for a lot of people, kind of starts tonight with the Champions Classic in Chicago, Michigan State, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, those two games. But here in our state, it started in a different kind of way last night as Iowa State takes it on the chin as they get just throttled by UW-Milwaukee.
They got curb stomped. Let's be honest here. That was a deplorable display. I know they had eight players, no Cameron Laird. I get it all, but you're playing UW-Milwaukee, okay, a team that is picked last in the Horizon League. Look, I know that they were last year, and then they made a run all the way to the championship game in the tournament. We've seen things like that take place.
Sure.
It does happen from time to time. You know that. But they stunk it up in front of the Hilton Crazies. And I think people were leaving, Trent, leaving at the six-minute mark left in the game. Trent, that does not happen. That doesn't take place at Hilton Coliseum. You've been there. You know how electric that building can be. I think most fans, you can live with the loss to Missouri. Okay, they got a talented group. It was on the road, first game. All right, okay, I can deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But weren't they like an 18-point favorite over Milwaukee?
I think it was 12 and a half is where the number
12
went
and off. A half? Yeah. Okay. I mean, still. You're supposed to win those games. You always talk about bye games.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to win those. So, look, they paid Milwaukee to come in, and they got punked on their home court.
This is not a team that is expected to do a whole lot in the Horizon League. They were picked eighth in the Horizon this season. And I think reality is now setting in for the people that didn't want to believe that it was going to be a rebuilding year. And mm-hmm. we've been very upfront that we thought it was going to be the case. I told you when you kept calling it the Magical Mystery Tour that it wasn't going to be that, Jim. They just frankly weren't going to be very good. And when we made our picks, you had them even worse in the Big 12 than I did. But you look at this team, they're limited offensively. They just don't have the guys that we've seen in the past. And seeing, you know, a Naz Long come off his zipper screen, and Monte Morris put his head down, and Deontay Burton, and on and on and on, and the guys throughout the year, and those guys aren't there. This is going to be a different-look team, and if they're going to compete and if they're going to win some games in the Big 12 this year, it's not going to be winning games 81-75. it's going to be grinding out victories. And that's going to be another part, as we talked about the fan base and how they're going to accept and interpret this season. Another part of it is they're going to have to do it with a different style. And it's not going to be as aesthetically pleasing as it's been in past years.
No, you're right.
Even in victories, there might be some ugly ones. We're talking maybe some Licklider balls, some 62-59. Well, those would be 42-39 games. But you get where I'm going.
Sure. I mean, look, it's going to be a real shock to the Hilton Coliseum fans' nervous system. Mm-hmm. It really is. And that's unfortunate. You and I both kind of thought that was going to be the case. Look, next year, they're going to be loaded. But this year is right now, and it's going to really be a very difficult situation. Look, I know they get Laird. He's finally going to play. They're also talking about Hans Brace also having some time to get back into the lineup. So that'll hopefully help them. But they were an absolute train wreck. No spacing on the floor, Trent. They struggled to make shots from the outside. And there was always a guy. Since Hoiberg and then into Prohm's first couple of years, there was always a guy, it seemed like, that they had, meaning the Cyclones, that they had on the court that could grab everybody by the back of the neck like you pick up a cat and say, hey, look, jump on my shoulders here. We got this. They don't have anybody like that, Trent. Not a player. So you're hoping maybe that Brace is that guy since he's an experienced player, but I don't see that right now. And I don't know how they're going to develop that sort of leadership, at least for the first month, maybe 2 months. Maybe November and December are going to be so rocky and bumpy that it's, you know, I hope for Cyclone fans is that they start to see light at the end of the tunnel after they get past the first of the year. But I don't know, after watching what I saw at Missouri and then that disaster of a basketball game last night.
Well, we talked about them when they get their transfers eligible next year that are sitting out this season in Mariel Shayok and Michael Jacobson, getting those guys in the freshman class coming in. Maybe even the rebuild's a little bit longer than that. You know, we anticipated this team was going to be good right away next season. Maybe
right.
That's not a sure thing. I think maybe even you and I, and we didn't think this team was going to be very good, Jim, but maybe even we overrated a little bit. I liked what I saw from Wyler Babb last night. He's played well in the first couple of games. I think he's taken a step forward offensively, and that's certainly something that you have to look at with him. He's played okay, but Donovan Jackson has struggled. Lindell Wigginton, he's a freshman, and he's a freshman that, remember, wasn't a point guard on his high school team. His point guard right now, I watched a highlight package of Texas in their first game. Now, they're playing Northwestern State, not the same Northwestern State team that beat Iowa in the NCAA tournament, what, 12 years ago. This Northwestern State team is down in a big, big fashion. They're awful. But that Texas team, with that point guard out there running him and Mo Bamba and company, they're good. They're really good.
Uh-huh.
But you got to remember that Wigginton, he's also learning here. This is not a guy that's been a full-time point guard throughout his career and making the transition. So another thing to keep an eye at, it's a different type of roster. And a roster that can't shoot straight at Iowa State, a lot different than what we've seen over the last 6 years.
You're absolutely correct. And you are right that if they're going to win some games and they don't shoot it well yet, they're going to have to do it on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
And you look, the way that you get good on defense is to do it over and over and over again. I don't know if this team has that defensive mentality, to be honest with you. You referenced the Licklider years. I don't know if they can, you know, how successful they're going to be at stopping teams.
Right.
Unless they play somebody who's really, really bad. Like if they played you and me and Alex Halstead, they could stop us. But, Trent, I've got serious concerns. Look, I know everybody's saying, oh, it's only two games. It's just two. I get it perfectly. But if they would have lost last night on a buzzer beater, okay. All right, okay, I get it. Or lost by five or less, but they showed signs, then you could probably say, all right, it's going to take a few games for these guys to kind of get used to each other and get the offensive flow going. Trent, there was zero offensive flow in that game.
Yeah, it was a disaster on that side of things. And Well, it's going to be a long, long winter, I have a feeling, for the Cyclones. And Hilton Coliseum certainly was not filled to the rafters. Now it is UW-Milwaukee, and expectations are down. But there were plenty of empty seats even before they started filing out here. We will see on that one. You and I with the win last night, game heard here on 1700. They beat an awful. Watch some of that game as well. Yeah. I mostly was stuck last night. NFL did nothing for me. I saw, I don't know, two dozen plays maybe all in total. Every time I'd flip over, it'd be brutal. But I watched a lot of the Gophers, their win against Providence, and some UNI against Alcorn State. Alcorn State's terrible. But, Jim, on Friday I gave my predictions for the season. Still at Minnesota as an NCAA tournament team, but I think I had them in the fifth spot, sixth spot, something like that in the Big Ten.
Are you going to – I think I had them second.
They're really good. I mean, they returned –
They are.
and I knew they returned all that talent, but, boy, watching them – Providence is an NCAA tournament team. You know, they're a team that I think will probably be an 8 to 10 seed, you know, something in that range. But that Gophers basketball squad – Amir Coffey coming back, what they can do inside with Reggie Lynch, and on and on and on. They looked so good last night. I was really impressed. To be this good this early in the season, bringing back these guys, they played at a high, high level. And the Murphy guy, boy, when he's playing well, when Jordan Murphy's out there creating space, he's passing the ball, he was knocking down jumpers, he's doing that. Amir Coffey was hitting threes. Oh, boy, if that goes on, Minnesota – maybe we do have a team to compete with Michigan State. That's how impressed I was with the Gophers last night.
They're really, really talented, and I felt like that. And the things that I have heard from people who had been to a couple of their practices said they were executing already at a very high level. Look, they dominated the second half. First half with Providence was pretty even, and then Minnesota just said, okay, we pretty much had enough of that, and we're just going to go to a different level, and Providence couldn't match that level. And you're absolutely right. They do have talent. And you know what? I was thinking about this after I watched the part of that game in the second half. You may have to say at least once throughout the college basketball season, maybe one time, something nice about little Ricky Pitino.
You might have to. I can't do that. Little Ricky. He was talking to my boy Raft. I love Bill Rafter.
Yeah.
I know you and you know Raft from way back in the day. You need to make a phone call. I would love to have Raft on the show sometime. But
all right.
He was talking to little Ricky afterwards, and he just bugs the crap out of me. And last year, they got off. They had the bad run there in the Big Ten, and it looked like, all right, well, it's the same old Gophers. And the way he was able to pull them out of the funk, it was very good. I just didn't anticipate that happening. And now this year, for the first time as a program, they have some big expectations to go on the road, go into the Dunk. You don't just walk in, Jim, to the Dunkin' Donuts Center and get a victory.
Right.
And they went in and did it in an impressive fashion. They had a stretch. They had 12 straight possessions where they scored. 12 straight, Jimmy B.
Yeah.
You don't see that at the NBA level. You don't see that at the college level. To do that shows you how effective they are. Nate Mason, maybe one of the most underrated guards in the country.
Mm-hmm.
He's very good. Big guys, Amir Coffey doing things. They had a McBrayer kid who I thought was really good last night. The Gophers, I hate to say it, they're a lot better than I even anticipated. Here we go. All right. Little Ricky, you get a little love.
Listen, if you get it from Trent, man, that's really – you've hit the big time. When Trent gave you a little love, man, oh, man, you're hitting the stratosphere in college basketball if Trent gives you a little love, little Ricky.
Well, maybe not.
Because he doesn't care. He doesn't care for you at all. Okay, so I did some of that. Let's quickly get to you and I. And, look, they did play a horrible team in Alcorn State. But at least they were scoring effectively from the outside. So – who knows? I mean, look, it's way early in the season, like we discussed, but who knows how that's going to translate since the competition level was so poor.
Yeah, and their next two games, they play Wartburg, in fact, coming up tomorrow night. Yes, Wartburg.
Wartburg?
From Waverly, Iowa. They'll be taking on the Knights in that matchup. Chicago State after that, who we know was brutal, but then it heats up again. They go to the Battle for Atlantis. So they open up with SMU. Then it'll be either Arizona or NC State. Purdue's in that tournament. that is going to be difficult to even find a way to get a victory. UNLV after that, UT Arlington, who's a very good team from the Southland.
They are.
They still get Iowa State. They still have Xavier before they get into conference play. So we're going to learn a lot more about this team. Really liked what I saw out of the freshman last night in Tyrone Pickford. That kid can play at a high level. You can tell it right away. Jim, I told you this summer, I talked to a couple people in Minneapolis that said that you and I got an absolute steal, and they did. Pickford is going to be a player for them going forward. And also good to see, you know, last year, Juwan McLeod, who is a freshman, undersized, not a real big kid at that point guard position, struggled with his shot, really just struggled as a point guard, played a lot more minutes than people anticipated with the injury to Wyatt Lowhouse. He played really well, shot it really well last night. They got a backcourt. Now it comes down to Clint Carlson and Cook inside. If those two guys play at a consistent high level, you and I is a team that could be talking about a regular season title in the MVC. Mm-hmm. They have that kind mm-hmm. of talent.
No, we both thought that they could be right there. The Valley is not what it used to be. We both know that. But it doesn't matter because a team will always get into the NCAA. Whoever the tournament winner is going to go dancing. And look, if you and I can continue to improve a little bit, make some shots. Look, we're not jumping for joy here because of the competition that they played last night. But in the Valley, that could translate into being right there and having an opportunity to be an NCAA team once they get to tournament time.
Well, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll be getting into some college football, little hoops as well. Alex Halstead will join us from CycloneAlert.com. We'll get his thoughts on the performance last night. What's next for the basketball team and a little football talk with Baylor on tap. We'll get into that. Adam Kramer as well as we get ready for the unveiling of the newest rankings from the college football playoff and what that's going to look like. We'll all do it here in the 4 o'clock hour. Jimmy B and TC on 1700.
Sunday night, Monday night, and Thursday night football from Westwood One, only on 1700 KBGG.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no-obligation consultation. That's 515-650-1358. 1358 for New Leaf Wellness. And tell them TC sent you.
Sponsored by Account Temps. Tis the season for year-end projects and increased workloads. Account Temps has perfectly matched candidates that make closing out the year a breeze. Visit AccountTemps.com to learn more. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
This is a court-ordered notice. Current and former Honda and Nissan owners or lessees can receive payments and other benefits from a legal settlement related to allegedly defective Takata airbags in their vehicles. To see if your vehicle is included and to file a claim, go to AutoAirbagSettlement.com or call 1-888-735-5596. That's AutoAirbagSettlement.com or 1-888-735-5596.
This is Trent Condon from 1700 KBGG. If you text and drive, you're just as dangerous as someone who is drunk at twice the legal limit. Make zero fatalities your goal and focus on the road.
Camp Sunnyside, taking a boat ride is Joey's favorite thing to do.
Easter Seals Iowa provides support for children and adults with disabilities in our community. From the fun of Camp Sunnyside to employment and daily living skills, Easter Seals provides a wide range of support to promote independence.
We have so much fun.
EasterSealsIA.org.
If you're sick and tired of the same old delivery options, I have an idea for you. It's Food Dudes Delivery. Food Dudes Delivery delivers for restaurants that normally don't deliver food. And with over 50 restaurants across the metro, Food Dudes Delivery can find whatever you're craving. And for listeners of Jimmy B and TC, $2 off any order of $20 or more. Just use the coupon code JBTC. That's JBTC for $2 off your next order of $20 or more. Food Dudes Delivery. Online, Food Dudes Delivery.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
It's time for your daily dose of Cyclone coverage on 1700 KBGG.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We roll all the way until the 5 o'clock, and then it's the Hawkeye Huddle coming up in about 15, 20 minutes from now. Alex Kramer, Kegs and Eggs, will be our guest. But right now, we say hello to Alex Halstead in his usual spot on a Tuesday, 24-7 Cyclone Alert. Alex, good afternoon, man.
Hey, guys, how are you guys doing this week?
We're doing great. How do you respond from the disaster that was at Hilton Coliseum last night?
Well, you know, I think, you know, the biggest thing is that I think fans have, for sure, you know, have their expectations, I think, kind of set into place now. I think most fans had mostly realistic expectations that this was going to be a rebuilding season. But I think even with that, people thought maybe the team would be a little further along. I mean, even... You know, when I would get asked, you know, even here when we were talking about this team preseason, my ceiling I felt like was this team could be, you know, somewhere between 7-9 in the Big 12, and at the best case scenario was to be on that bubble late into the season. I think even that ended up being, right now it looks like a little bit optimistic. So, you know, I think it brings that down a little bit, but we knew this was going to be a work in progress. I just don't think we knew it was going to be this big of a work in progress, and it's going to be interesting to watch this team grow, but I think there's going to be a lot of growing pains, and especially the next month or so.
Well, after the game last night, Coach Prohm, I know, talked a lot about offensively how much work they have to do there, and even best-case scenario, this is not going to be a team that Cyclone fans have grown accustomed to throughout the years. This is going to be a team that's going to have to find a way to grind out victories. Just limited on that end, is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, you know, like I said, you know, I think I even underestimated things a little bit. You know, my thought was that this was going to be an NIT-type team, you know, in a good best-case scenario, and maybe that team that was like an Iowa or a TCU last year, and I don't think they're going to be that at this point. And I think their biggest reason I underestimated them is, or I guess overestimated them a little bit, was the shooting. You know, I knew they lost Nazmi Trulong and, you know, Monte Morris even as a three-point shooter, and Matt Thomas, and they lost those pieces. But I still, you just assume there's going to be some kind of shooting, and there's just really not. You know, Donovan Jackson has really struggled from three, and I think part of that is because they don't have other shooters where he can really spot up and get some of the shots that he's gotten in the past. So that, I think, has hurt him. And, you know, guys like Zoran Talley and even Lindell Wigginton, they're drivers, and they just don't have that shooter-type guy. And, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday. The best player on their team, from what I've heard right now, is sitting out. You know, Mario Shayak is the best player on this team, and – Lindell Wigginton has the most potential, but Shayak is the best player at this point in time, and he can't play this year. And so when you just think about some of those things, I think, you know, maybe gave him a little bit more credit to be able to pick up some of the slack that they have last year. And I think we're finding out that there's a lot of places where they're lacking, and the biggest places, aside from defense, is just they don't have a three-point shooter right now.
Well, they didn't shoot it worth a damn, to be honest, and their spacing is just awful. Look, I know that it's just two games into the season, but I'm with you. I just didn't expect it to be this shabby against a Milwaukee team. I thought for sure that they would at least find a way to win that game, and getting punked on your own court the way that they did is just shameful. The thing that I want to find out from you is you get Brace and you get Laird back. with what you have seen and heard, how will those two impact this team in the next couple games?
I think that's kind of what I'm most interested to see, is what this team looks like with the full roster, and we'll finally get to see that starting, you know, Thursday night. I think it is going to make an impact. You know, for sure, Cameron Lard, when you look at him, they just need some kind of room presence. You know, when you look at guys going against Jeff Beverly down there, you know, Beverly, I think, ultimately would be a guy that comes off the bench for this team, and they don't have another rim protector down there. From everything I've heard, you know, Lard in against Nebraska in the private scrimmage, in their intra-squad scrimmages, has been one of their best players, not just their one of their best post players, but one of their best players. And, you know, against Nebraska, I think he had 5 block shots, and he's just a presence down there, and it's going to be a work in progress with him offensively too. But I think defensively, I think it's going to help to get both of those guys out there. When you look at Hans Brace, he's expected to play Thursday. He might only play 8 to 10 minutes or something like that, you know, 15 minutes a game early on as they work him back to where they want him. But you could just see his IQ out there. You know, last night he was yelling to Terrence Lewis to get backside, and Lewis was too late to get there. They scored on the backside on that play, but he knows what's going on. And I think when he's out there, he's going to help other guys, because there is talent on this team. We know they don't have the shooting on this team, but I think one of the bigger problems is just a lot of these guys, it's just like they don't know what's going on yet. You know, you can tell they haven't played together. Wigginton is a really good player, but you know, they're still figuring out how he plays with Donovan Jackson and how Nick Babb fits in. And so I think there's all trying to figure it all out. And I think Brace could help in that regard, because he's very intelligent when you talk to him, and he knows what's going on on the court. So I think he'll help get guys in the right spot. And you hope that even a little bit helps them get a little bit better.
Well, you mentioned Lindell Wigginton, and you know, I talked about this at the top of the show. I think people thought that this was going to be a point guard, maybe in the vein of a Monte Morris. He's a different kind of player. Wasn't a full-time point guard a year ago, also, you know, for the squad at Oak Hill. So tell us a little bit about his game, and maybe kind of some names that jump to mind when you see him play.
Yeah, he's definitely a different player than Monte, and that's kind of what, you know, Prohm told us at Media Day. I think he was asked, you know, what do you say to people who think this is Monte, you know, a Monte-type replacement? And you saw him play off the ball a lot last night, where they had Nick Babb even at point guard. He's so used to playing that two-guard spot that Prohm's still working with him to become that true point guard, and he will probably develop into that guy. But it might not be until next year where he's really the guy that has to be in charge at the point. You know, this year he's going to be moving around a little bit. The biggest difference between him and Monte Morris is that he drives. You know, when you watch him, he likes to get to the hoop a lot, and we saw it in the exhibition. We've seen it a little bit in these first two actual games. He gets to the free throw line because of that, and I think those numbers will continue to go up as he gets to the line. The biggest thing Prohm has kind of told us is that he just needs to be more patient. You know, I think he wants to try to do so much right now, and especially with the team struggling, to try to get something going for them. And at times you see him kind of rush into the lane, but you know, they'd like to see him probably drive more, and that's kind of what he is versus Monte. And I think that's last night was probably the biggest indicator that Monte Morris is gone, because you saw Nick Weiler-Babb and Donovan Jackson, Lindell Wigginton combined for, you know, 8 or 9 turnovers, and the team had 18 total. You know, that it's just different right now. They're still trying to figure all that stuff out, and that's probably one of the most frustrating things, is just for the fans, I think, is the style so much different right now as they try to figure things out. And the turnovers, you know, when you have 18 turnovers, if you cut that in half, you know, you're right in that game, but you can't give up 18 possessions in a game, especially at home.
Mm-hmm. Did Monte Morris even have 18 turnovers in a season?
It would have taken him several months to rack up that many. You know, the assist to turnover ratio last night, I think, was like 18-5. It was bad. They actually had more turnovers than field goals made. You know, they got to the free throw line a ton last night, and that's going to be the type of team this team has to beat. But you can't turn it over and miss the amount of shots they did in the second half. You know, the first half shooting was fine, but I think they had 11 turnovers. And so it just, when they even did something positive early on in the game, they were turning it over so much that they still hadn't pulled away.
For reference sake, last year, Monte Morris, 42 turnovers in 35 games. A big difference there from certainly what we've seen in the past with Monte running control there. So, you know, we kind of look big picture at this team. There's still some pieces to be added. Cameron Laird, it's a question we continue to wait. He's going to be out there next game, correct?
Yep, he will play Thursday. You know, Prohm said he's full go beginning Thursday. What it ultimately amounts to was basically a three-game suspension when you counted the exhibition game. And, Prohm wants to set a standard, he said, for this team and doesn't want to go into a ton of details, but we saw him do that with him, and Terrence Lewis missed a game, and Zoran Talley missed a game. He wants to make a point this year, especially when they're trying to kind of set something. So Cameron will play Thursday, and I would expect to see him get a decent amount of minutes because it sounds like he's been, like I said, one of their top players, and if that translates to the court, he could be at least a difference maker alongside Solomon Young. But how long have we been waiting to see him play, and should finally see him Thursday night.
Look, it was as ugly as it was last night with the addition of Laird back on the court. Is this going to be where they all get acclimated and they're finally starting to understand it? Do you have this at the end of November, into the middle of December, or near the end of December before you think they'll be comfortable?
Well, I think after seeing last night, until they show a little bit more, I'd probably go mid to late December. You know, maybe they open conference play in December this year, December 29th against Kansas State, and you would think that by then they're at least know where they're supposed to be. The spacing is much better. You know, we've seen the two of the biggest things, I think, so far is the spacing offensively, aside from the shots, and then defensively they've given up some easy baskets because they double-team and they miss the backside or things like that. So those type of things are going to get worked out just as they play more together. And, their shooting can't get worse. And so I think as they kind of start to figure out more offensively, you know, Donovan Jackson's going to at least get something going. So that's what I would say is probably mid to late December. That's kind of what Prohm said is by January. The big thing for them is, and we kind of used this comparison before, you don't want to be like Oklahoma last year where you win, you know, three or four non-conference games. And, you know, if you could just win some of these games you're supposed to, which is already off to a bad start because that last night's a game they're supposed to win, then you can at least, you know, have a respectable non-conference. And then by the time you're expecting to be playing better going into conference play, you can at least, you know, do something. So that's going to be the big question. But, you know, they get Appalachian State Thursday, and then I think either Tulsa or Western Michigan on Friday. So, you know, those are winnable games, but Milwaukee was winnable. And so I think right now you can't really predict which games they're going to play well and which they're not. I think it's just going to be kind of an up-and-down road right now.
Well, over to a little football before we let you go. Alex Halstead joining us, CycloneAlert.com. Alex, the team that might be difficult for them to get off the mat after that loss, the final play of the game, you know, the way things went down there. You see this team going down to Baylor. What kind of effort? We've seen them bounce back a couple of times. I think this is going to tell us a lot of kind of what's left maybe in the tank for the Cyclone football team.
Yeah, this is going to be a game, I think, that tells us a lot. Like you said, every time they've kind of stumbled, they've tended to bounce back this season. You know, after that Texas game, they bounced back pretty well after that. They bounced back after the Iowa loss. They've bounced back pretty well. Even after the West Virginia game, they played well on Saturday. So, you know, this is a game that, you know, they're favored by 9.5. It's the first time they've been favored since the Kansas game. And I don't think that really gets to them because, you know, Baylor is a team that struggled this year, but you know, since they've had their other quarterback, they've played better. I think Baylor probably looks at these last few weeks as kind of its season. You know, they have a chance to, you know, get a couple games. So it's just you're going on the road. I think it adds another element as well. And Campbell, you know, said that Baylor reminds him a lot of Iowa State last year, where they did get better as the season went along, and they've kind of figured some things out and mostly found an identity. So I think they bounce back and play well, but I don't think it's going to be some pushover game. It's definitely not. Doesn't remind me of like Kansas. You know, we saw what Baylor did to Kansas. Baylor and Kansas are both down this year, but Baylor is a much better team than even Kansas is.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right about that. Look, I went back yesterday and I read off what the Iowa State defense had given up point-wise. Against Oklahoma, they gave up 31. They shut out Kansas, which I didn't predict they would shut them out, but they did an incredible job in that game. They shut down Texas Tech, and then they get into a situation. They pretty much on the road shut down West Virginia after the first half. They never scored in the second half. And then they give up 49. On the defensive side of the ball, because we played so late into the season and the defense has been on the field a lot, do you see wear down finally in that defense and holes now beginning to really show up?
Well, I think Saturday, to me, was more of just giving up the big plays they haven't given up. And I don't, you know, I'm sure there were missed tackles here and there. But, you know, part of it is, you know, they gave up the big plays that Oklahoma State gets. And that was going to be the thing to win that game is you couldn't give up. You know, we saw them, you know, once give up like that 81-yard play or whatever, and that killed them. You know, the first play after a punt, and they give that up to the 1-yard line. That's the type of plays they didn't want to give up, and they couldn't afford to give up in if they wanted to win that game. But two things that stood out to me is, you know, the first half when Oklahoma State scored 21 straight, you know, one of the times they had a short field because of the 15-yard punt, then his next punt goes 25 yards. And so when you give Oklahoma State a field of, I think, I want to say it was like 36 yards, and then the next field was 60 yards. You know, a 60-yard or a 36-yard field for that offense is just easy. And so that was one of their challenges. And then I think the other thing is they kind of got to that shootout in the second half where, like you said, the possession, the defense was on the field a lot because even when Iowa State scored, it took them like a minute and a half. So, you know, that's not the type of game they wanted to get into. And it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back against Baylor because I think, you know, the first six Big 12 games, they held all those teams below their scoring average by at least 10 points. They played well basically in every Big 12 game defensively up until Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State's a good offense, but it's going to be interesting to see if maybe that challenges them, you know, these next 2 weeks because, you know, Baylor's obviously had its struggles. You can maybe take advantage of their offensive line that's really young and a quarterback that's young. And then Kansas State's not necessarily a high-powered offense. So they've got two opportunities here to, I think, help Iowa State get wins. You know, when Iowa State was on that little winning streak, it was because of the defense. And I think if the defense bounces back these last 2 weeks, it could help them finish 8-4 if they play well.
Good stuff as always, Alex. Thanks for taking some time with us today. CycloneAlert.com. Enjoy Waco. We'll talk again next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
That's Alex Halstead with us. Jimmy B., quick time out here. We'll come back. Time to talk some college football, the different variety, taking a look at the top, as we'll be talking with our man Adam Kramer. Kegs and Eggs, he's up next here. It's Jimmy B. and TC.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
Sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Keep your car running newer, longer. Come into Firestone Complete Auto Care and get $100 off any purchase of $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Running low on the stuff you need? Time for a Target run. We're here for all the big moments and the little ones too, like hosting turkey dinner and scoring Pepperidge Farm stuffing on sale for $2.49 or picking up dessert on the go. Bring 8-inch Market Pantry pies to Friendsgiving for just $2.99 each. Got house guests coming? Windex and Pledge are buy one, get one 30% off. Get in, out, and on your way. Target run and done. Pricing may vary. Restrictions may apply.
Get a head start on Black Friday at JCPenney. Up to 40% off major appliances from your favorite brands. Plus, buy more, save more. Get up to a $500 Visa prepaid card. Plus, get up to 36-month special financing through November 29th. Hurry in. These Black Friday deals can't be beat. JCPenney. Available in select stores. Visa prepaid card offer valid on major appliances purchased 11-1 through 11-29 starting at $398 or more per appliance, excluding accessories. Financing terms valid through 11-29. Must request at time of purchase. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. Some restrictions and exclusions apply. See store associate for details.
1700 KBGG is your home for high school football. Join me, Trent Condon, each and every Friday night starting at 7 o'clock for the Central Iowa Game of the Week. After the game, keep it locked on 1700 KBGG for the Hartung and Schrader Scoreboard Show. We'll take you up until 11 o'clock with scores from across the state of Iowa. Your home for high school sports, 1700 KBGG. State championship doubleheader on Friday, 11 a.m. Van Meter against Iowa City Regina, and then the 4A title game with Dowling Catholic against Iowa City West Friday on 1700.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness. Give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Trust, quality, value. Just some of the words that have been used by Wolf Construction Roofing customers to describe their experience. Wolf Construction Roofing works on residential and commercial roofing, including single-family and multifamily homes, tear-offs, specialty roofing, and gutters. Wolf Construction has grown into a roofing machine that installs and re-roofs nearly 2 million square feet of roofing each year. Wolf Construction has been given the Super Service Award from Angie's List and is accredited with the Better Business Bureau. Call them today for your free estimate. Wolf Construction Roofing, 515-216-3643. That's 515-216-3643. And online, wolfconstruction.net.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. We take you up to the top of the hour at that time. It is the Hawkeye Huddle guys who will take over with a full hour of the Hawkeye Huddle until 6 o'clock. But right now, Kegs and Eggs, Adam Kramer is our guest. Adam, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We're doing sensational. Quickly, how jacked are you for this doubleheader of basketball tonight?
What is basketball that you speak? No, I'm kidding. No, this is great. I honestly love when they do this. I was a little disappointed that the marathon went away. But in terms of sort of garnering momentum, I think the sport does a really good job of it. The teams schedule up because they know they can lose. You know, again, I'm always comparing things on the football scale. But in terms of just kind of sitting down and then, you know, sprinkling the playoff rankings in between here, it should be a really, really good night.
Well, we will get those playoff rankings, and that's where we're going to start with you here, AK. Alabama 1, number 2 is?
I think it's going to be Miami. I do. I think it's going to be Miami. I think Miami actually could really even push for that number 1 spot. But I don't think you'll see a change there. Really what the committee likes is that validation. And they talked about the strength of schedule being bad and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The fact that they not only validated it, but validated it in a big way, to me tells me there'll be a number 2 team. Could be Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma will certainly be 3. And then I think you're looking at Clemson 4. And where Wisconsin fits in after an impressive win is interesting. And I think maybe most interesting thing to me is where Auburn and Georgia sit. So Auburn with 2 losses just blew the doors off of Georgia, who's got a really great resume despite the loss. Is the committee going to go full head-to-head and just say Auburn's going to be in front of them? I think they will. Or will Georgia still be in front of Auburn despite losing the game outright? It's kind of an interesting spot because multiple losses. To me, that's probably the biggest takeaway tonight.
Having a conversation right now with Adam Kramer, Kegs and Eggs. When you take a look at what we witnessed over the weekend, Alabama once again gets lucky and escapes and keeps finding a way. So with that being said, is there anybody that can knock off Alabama in the SEC? Is it Auburn in the Iron Bowl? Is it somebody else in the championship game? Or are they, even with the injuries that they have, are they still just too good?
No, I don't think so at all. Like, this is sort of gritty Bama we're seeing, which is a change of pace. Honestly, if Alabama doesn't play better, it will lose to Auburn. Like, that's kind of how I view it. An Auburn offensive line is a huge matchup issue right now for an Alabama defensive line, really a front seven that was pushed around on Saturday. So in terms of pure schematic matchups, I think that presents a real problem. I'm not going to talk about Alabama like some underdog, like we should be pulling for them for little old Alabama. That's not the case. But there is kind of a lack of invincibility about them, which is not normal. I mean, even Saban's teams that may not be his best of teams have always had that little edge, that always sense that even if they could, you know, that they may not lose, that they can't lose, and they'll lose sometimes, but there's just this swagger about them. I don't feel like this Alabama team has that. That being said, Jalen Hurts grew up on Saturday night. Now, granted, Dan Mullen, I think, gift-wrapped that game to Alabama with some brutal decision-making down the stretch. But I love what I saw from Hurts, and Alabama made a few plays when they had to, so kudos to them. But, no, I think this is an Alabama team that is as vulnerable as it's been in some time.
Well, AK, we got to see Wisconsin, one of the remaining undefeated teams, up close and personal in the domination of the Hawkeyes on Saturday afternoon. It was ugly, certainly, from a Hawkeye perspective. It didn't seem to gain a whole lot of traction, even a week after Iowa dismantles Ohio State.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like Wisconsin got much credit for that win.
No, and look, I mean, Iowa fans should appreciate the struggle that Wisconsin is going through because they went through it a few years ago. So I ultimately, the scenario is what it is. If Wisconsin wins the rest of its games, it doesn't matter how disrespected it feels. It's in. They're in. The Badgers will be in. If they lose, I think it's going to be really, really tough. A big one coming up against Michigan, obviously, this week. Probably an even bigger one in a couple of weeks with what looks like an Ohio State team that we're trying to figure out now, given the last 2 weeks' results. But, no, I think, you know, you can have legitimate questions about Wisconsin given the schedule. You can have questions about the quarterback. They do a lot of things really well. I think they'd beat pretty much most teams. Are they one of the top four teams in the country? No, I don't think so. It's not a knock on them. It's just a reality. I do think that if they win the rest of their games, they should be in the playoff. At some point, I know we're trying to get the four best teams. The resume has to mean something. What you do has to mean something. And I'm all for the committee taking a stand and rewarding teams that schedule up and play somebody. But if you're going to leave out an undefeated Power 5 team, schedule be darned, then I think your system's probably broken. So I think Wisconsin's in great shape. It really doesn't matter what the rest of us say here for the next few weeks, as long as they continue to handle what they have to handle.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Would you say that Wisconsin's schedule is similar to the schedule Iowa had when they went 12-0?
It's pretty similar, right? I mean,
yeah.
And for the most part, there's no wins on there that I think, like, blew you away. But there were some performances there. Like, you know, you're not just, like, walking through everything. Like, to me, going through a regular season unbeaten, I don't care who you are, is tremendously, tremendously difficult. And so I've always had a different level of respect, whether you're doing it in the SEC or the Pac-12 or the Big 12, wherever. To get a group of 18 to 22-year-olds to play up every single weekend like that, I think is extraordinary. So, yeah, it's not a great strength of schedule. The metrics pretty much say that. But to also completely discredit it, I think, is unfair as well. There's got to be some, you know, assessment somewhere in the middle. that says, you know, who Wisconsin is. And here's the beauty of Wisconsin. I mean, we'll figure out who Wisconsin is not before long, whether it's in the regular season or the Big Ten championship or beyond. Like, in this new format, they're going to have a chance to prove it, and I love that.
AK, there's weeks that crop up throughout the year that just frankly aren't very good, but rarely do we see this in November. After the slate of games a week ago, this is so dreadful. Wisconsin, Michigan, give me two other decent games to even be interested about this week and taking the locals out of the mix.
It's brutal, man. Like, this is always a – this is historically is not a great Saturday because most teams, like, you know, kind of take a breather before rivalry week at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you a few, and you can laugh at me if you want because you're not wrong.
Okay.
I'm kind of interested in Wake Forest-NC State.
What?
I know. I'm not happy about it, but I'm kind of interested.
Come on, he's grasping. He's grasping here.
Okay.
But I kind of like the way Wake is playing. Wake could win seven games, their seventh game.
Yeah.
So selfishly, I'm kind of interested in that. I'm kind of interested in Notre Dame-Navy. To see what the heck Notre Dame does after that debacle.
Sure.
And Navy at six wins could potentially run through them. I mean, you said no local team, so Iowa-Purdue is out of the mix.
Right.
I guess I'm interested in Northwestern Minnesota, if I have to be. and I think the two that actually I think are most interesting are outside the Power Five, which is UCF Temple, as UCF tries to secure an undefeated season and hang on to its head coach, and SMU Memphis, which actually has a chance to be a lot of fun as those hang on. Am I missing something here? Because honestly, I may be.
Nope.
They're not good. I mean, I love this sport, okay, and I will watch. But the fact that Wisconsin, Michigan is the early game, and I don't know if I have to write Saturday night, gentlemen. The cooler may be out and about, and Adam Kramer might enjoy himself a little fun Saturday evening.
That sounds very good, AK. Yeah, enjoy a little time away. Enjoy some time with the little ones on a Saturday night. It doesn't happen very often during the fall.
No, it doesn't. But, man, this is a hard one to stand behind. This is a pretty tough game, there's no doubt.
Thanks for your time, as always, AK. Great catching up.
All right, man. Thanks.
That's Adam Kramer, AK, joining us here on the program. Let's take a quick call, Jimmy B, before we take our break.
Okay.
We got the Hawkeye Huddle coming up on the other side. One of your old buddies, Jeff, wants to check in. Jeff, what's going on?
Oh, this is a privilege. This is a privilege to be on live with Jimmy B and TC, first of all. And I'd like to say that the Iowa Hawkeye football team, the greatest up and the greatest down in the history of football. That was just an incredible up and down situation there. And I'd also like to give a shout out to Donald Trump for pulling the UCLA players out of China. Like he said, they don't play around, and they put them in jail for 10 years for petty theft. But but what I really called about was to give a shout out to Bobby the Brain Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon.
Okay.
I understand now why I enjoyed watching wrestling as a kid. Those guys were great. And I kind of put Jimmy B sort of as the Bobby the Brain Heenan. And as Gorilla Monsoon is trying to talk, he's calling Betty on the phone. And TC, you're the one that's, you're like being interrupted because, you know, Bobby the Brain is just an amazing guy. And so is Jimmy B. You are a legend, dude. Can I just tell you that?
Legend in his own mind. That's
in my own mind, yes.
That's Jeff checking in. Always interesting, always entertaining. Thanks to Jeff for the phone call. Well, Jimmy B, you're done for the day. We got the Hawkeye Huddle coming up next at 5.
Sounds like a plan. I'd like to see how these guys try to spin what took place over the weekend. But it's done with. Now you got to get ready for Purdue.
Absolutely. Boilermakers and Hawkeyes, 2:30 on Saturday. We'll talk about that and see if Brett Ridge and Dave Creighton Jr. can figure out what happened to the Hawks.
Your home and away voice for UNI football, 1700 KBGG.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you.
fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Kate here with Food Dudes Delivery. Are you tired of the same old delivery options? Food Dudes Delivery can solve that problem for you. We deliver for restaurants that don't do delivery. Order through us at fooddudesdelivery.com. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office party tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com.
Black & Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at BC Divide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
Sponsored by Account Temps. Because holiday vacations happen even when payroll is due, call Account Temps. They provide accounting and finance professionals on a temporary basis and fast. Visit AccountTemps.com. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast. And you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering six times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
This holiday season, he went to Jared because getting her a blender just didn't sound right. Her ideal gift is waiting at Jared, the Levion Collection. Jared has more exclusive Levion pieces than any other jewelry store in the world. And from November 16th through the 26th, visit Jared.com and you'll receive $100 off any Levion purchase. Sound good? That's why he went to Jared. Some exclusions apply. See Jared.com for details.
1700 KBGG is your home for Kansas City Chiefs football.
Tyreek Hill takes it at the 5. San Diego didn't think he was going to take it. Here he goes. He's at the 25-30. They blocked the punter. The cheat is gone. They can't get to him. Tyreek Hill stays on the right boundary. 10-5. Touchdown, Kansas City.
The voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, joins myself, Trent Condon, and Ken Miller each Thursday at 1:40 on your home for Chiefs football, 1700 KBGG.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
You can help plant the seeds of hope in the Heartland. Imagine how an at-risk child's life can change when one small act of kindness leads to an entirely different path. Wildwood Hills Ranch is transforming the lives of at-risk children, one heart and one child at a time, through year-round character, leadership, and teamwork training. Frederick Douglass was right. It is better to build strong children than repair broken men. Help forge a path by sponsoring an at-risk child today. Learn more.